the issue of eating Isurim of less than a shear and its application to Gid Hanasha. So the discussion appears in the Menchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Gimel in Osio Zayin and Ches, but we need some background first in terms of how you determine the shear for an Isur altogether and the shear for Gid Hanasha. So you take a look at Source Aleph. It's the Gemara in Chulin. Mishnah says, Ha'ochel migid hanasha kizayis, sofeg arboim, Aleph-sized amount that earns you malkos. Ochlo ve'embo kizayis, if you eat an entire gid hanasha that is not a kizayis, not an Aleph-sized amount, nonetheless, chayiv, you are liable, you ate what we call a bria, or a beria, as some pronounce it. You ate an entire entity, and therefore that carries liability. The Rambam writes, anything you're not allowed to eat that's listed in the Torah, shurim b'kizayis beinoni. The measure is an average olive-sized amount. Bein l'malkos, bein l'karis, bein l'misa b'dei shamayim. Each penalty depending on the type of isur that it is. Isur, you know, or when it is, correct. Ugvar b'arnu shekol ha'machuyav karis o'misa b'dei shamayim al ma'achol alokia. And we've already said that anytime someone is supposed to get karis o'misa b'dei shamayim for eating something, he can get malkos, and that's its whole other discussion about the use of malkos to get rid of karis, etc. What if I eat less than a shear? So, Source Gimel is the classic Gemara in Yuma. Gufa, they're following up on a previous discussion, and they quote it and say, Chatzi shir, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Aser Minat Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says, even eating less than a shir, when he says Chatzi, Chatzi does not mean half. Chatzi means part of. So he says, eating part of a shir, Rabbi Yochanan says, is biblically prohibited as well. Reish Lakish Amar Mutar Minat Torah. Reish Lakish says, no, that's not true. The Torah wouldn't prohibit it, even though we don't allow you to do it. That's not biblical. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Aser Minat Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says it's biblically Aser Kevin Dechazi Leitz Darufa Yisura Ka'achil, because it could be combined with additional eating that will put you over the threshold. Therefore, it's Aser as well. Not as a gezeira, not as a decree lest you do so, but simply because this is part of eating a kezayis. My liability for eating a kezayis does not begin when I have a whole kezayis. My liability for eating a kezayis is already there, even if I eat just part of a kezayis, even if I never end up eating a whole kezayis. Nonetheless, I'm still liable.
What's the svara? I mean, it's hard to understand the svara.
Right. So we need to come back to Chazilitz Darufe, because that's going to be a major component of the whole shir. So we have more to see on Chazilitz Darufe. Not that it's going to explain anything, but we'll see more about it at any rate. Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish Amar Mutim in HaTorah, because Achila Amar Rahman of Aleka, the Torah said, eating is what's off limits. Eating, by definition, is a kezayis. That's Reish Lakish's position. Good. That starts us off. Now, when we talk about the idea of a kezayis, that's only, so to speak, one axis of the two axes that are necessary to describe an action of eating. Right? One action is the volume. The other axis is time. Exactly. Passage of time, for which we use the classic phrase, b'chdei achilas pras. The time it would take you to eat half a loaf of bread. That's our definition. And the idea is that multiple small eatings over the course of a period of time will combine into one big eating. So if you take a look at the Gemara in Yuma, Maskif lo Rava, Rava asks a question. Kizayis bechdei achilas pras. V'kosevis bechdei achilas pras. Rava asks, you have the same shear of kidei achilas pras, whether you're talking about isurim for which the threshold is an olive-sized amount, or whether you're talking about eating on Yom Kippur, where the threshold is kakoseves, the large date. Either way, it's bechdei achilas pras, the same period of time. He says, why does that make any sense? If we're really defining it as volume over time, and there's a certain ratio we're going for, then the time amount should change when the volume amount changes, no? Amar le'avaye, to which the Abaye said, nah. Kim lehu l'rabbanan. The Rabbanan knew, this was their assumption, debahachi miyas v'dayte, that eating in that period of time will settle a person's mind. It'll make him less hungry. B'tfe me'achi lo miyas v'dayte. Eating over a longer period of time will not calm his appetite, will not settle his mind. That's the Gemara in Yuma. Where in the world does that come from? So take a look at Chulin Kuf Gemel Amid Beis. Ki Asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he reported the following. Ba'mine Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish me Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, Chilko Bachutz Mahu. This is an interesting discussion in this Gemara in Yuma. You have an Eiver min Hachai, right? A limb from a live animal, and you divide it up, and then eat it in parts. So Mahu, what's the rule? Does that all combine? There's such that we say you ate an Eiver min Hachai. Amar le Potter, he says you're exempt. Mibifnim mai. What about if you did it inside? In other words, you didn't swallow it all in one go. You chewed it. So then what? So Amar le Chayiv. He says, yeah, then you're liable. If it entered your mouth as one piece, then you're liable. That's the key. We take the snapshot, so to speak, as a friend of mine used to say regarding these things. You take the snapshot at the moment it enters your mouth, and if it's whole at that point, then you are Chayiv. Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said, if it was broken up when it was outside the mouth, and then you ate it, you are indeed exempt. Mibifnim, if it broke up inside, Rav Yochanan, Omar, Chayiv, Rish Lakish, Omar, Potter. Rav Yochanan says, you are liable. Rish Lakish says, no, you are not. Rav Yochanan, Omar, Chayiv. Rav Yochanan says, you are liable, like we said. Hare nana, the grono, b'kizayis, because after all, you know, in your throat, you benefited a kizayis worth. Rish Lakish Amar Pata. Rish Lakish says, no, you're not. Achila b'meya po'inan v'laka. We require that the eating take place, so to speak, inside in your innards. That's what the Gemara says. So here's the Rashi on that. Rashi on this word mahu. When we ask, what's the rule if you broke up your kazayas outside of the mouth? Rashi says, mimit starfi l'chayuve kechol sha'ar isurim. Do the different parts combine to make him liable, just like by other Isurim, not Eiver min Hachai? Where we say that if you eat piece, but during a Kedei Achilas Pras, they all combine, right? Like we said in Yom HaPayim at Beis, it was Source Dalet. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps I should say, since it's a novelty that I'm liable at all for eating Eiver min Hachai, because ordinarily you're not liable for eating Gidin, sinews, right? And some of these bones that make up the Eiver. Ordinarily those aren't forbidden food. They're not food at all. Here you are liable. So I should say, that all you have is the chidush, the novelty itself, that I should be liable for this eating. And only if I eat it all at once should I be liable. Because when you use the word achila, we assume that means all at once, not in parts. In other words, Rashi is telling us two interesting things. Number one, the default assumption regarding eating is that eating means all at once and not over the course of Bechdei Achilas Pras. Bechdei Achilas Pras is a chidush. That's a novelty. Okay? That's one very interesting point. The second interesting point is regarding Eiver min Hachai, that Eiver min Hachai itself is a novelty, that I shouldn't be liable for eating Eiver min Hachai, because what did I eat? I ate bones, I ate sinews. Sure, there was flesh also. But if I ate the flesh without the bones and the sinews, that wouldn't be called Eiver min Hachai. Eiver min Hachai is a very odd concept.
Why, just to understand what the issue with Eiver min Hachai was the pshat that, was the problem that it contained less of the kazayas of meat on it, and therefore it was a questionable...
No, even with a kazayas.
What's the problem?
The,
it's not royal achila Eiver min Hachai, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and parts of it aren't food. It's Basar min Hachai is a whole separate, is its own discussion. But it's not called eating Eiver min Hachai unless I actually eat an Eiver, including Basar, Gidin, and Atzamos. That's the definition of Eiver min Hachai.
Fine. So if there's a kazayas of meat.
Let's say there isn't, to make it easy.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember that specific rule, but you don't need it for this.
Otherwise, what would be the issue? If there is enough of...
Then you're liable for Basar min Hachai.
Right.
Right, so, again, there are separate laws regarding Basar min Hachai, and I don't remember them offhand.
So there's a distinction between Eiver min Hachai and Basar min Hachai.
Yes.
Unless Eiver min Hachai... The Bavatish Teretz would be to say that Eiver min Hachai, the Torah specified Eiver min Hachai, whether it's considered to be food or not,
right.
It's usher.
Right. Right.
For whatever reason. It's not necessarily al tzachil. It could be a zunder mitzvah of not eating Eber Min HaChai.
Right. Right, but I don't think that's what's... Yeah, no. What we're saying is that there's a chiddush that this is called Eber Min HaChai and that you are going to be chayav for it even though it
okay,
contains
Eber Min HaChai. Okay, is it because it's you're eating something that's usher to eat because it's a basar usher? Or is it pshat you're eating Eber Min HaChai and Torah told you not to eat Eber Min HaChai?
Yeah, no, that's what it is.
So then that it's a different category of,
yeah,
of eating.
Yes, that is correct. And that's exactly the point here. Since it's a different category of eating altogether, maybe this novelty of eating b'chdei achilas pras, which we apply by normal eating, shouldn't apply to Eber Min HaChai. That's exactly right. And the key for our purposes at the moment is that Rashi is informing me that the idea of b'chdei achilas pras is fundamentally a novelty. You heard, I'm sure, about those who are makbid for matzah leil Pesach to eat it all the bazachas and not to use kedei achilas pras.
Chasam nish or
chasam sofer. There's a whole thing, but it's a very interesting idea. But that's number one. Is that our idea of combining food across time is actually a chiddush? That's number one. Number two is that we go by the rate at which a normal person eats. We don't say, well, you eat faster and you eat slower, therefore you'll have different thresholds. And the Minchas Chinuch points this out by pointing us to a Mishnah in Kalim. V'yesha Amru, Mishnah Zayin, V'yesha Amru b'mida daka. There are cases, the Mishnayos there are telling us some are mida gasa, some are mida daka. In some cases, we use the smaller measures. Midos halach ba'yavesh, measures of liquid as well as solid, shirin bi'italki, zomidbaris. That's not germane for us. The point is what comes after that. V'yesha amru, hakolafi mashehu adam. For certain measurements, we say it's based on the person himself. Based on who he is. And they list, hakomitzis hamincha. Right? When you want to figure out what is a kmitza, what is a proper kmitza, it depends on the kohen doing the kmitza. Your festival. V'achovin is ha-ketores, or the one who combines his hands to take the two hands full of the ketores. V'ashosek kemlo lugma via makipur, of a person drinking a cheekful on Yom Kippur. It's not a standardized amount, it depends on the person. Right? But notice what's not mentioned there in your list of things that depend on the person. Kedei achilas pras. That's not there. So the Minchas Chinuch seizes upon that to say kedei achilas pras is not dependent upon the actual person. It is not dependent on the actual person. It's based on your average normal person. That's the way we do it. If you take a look at source Ches, take a look at that Gemara. It's an interesting note. In Yuma, Maskif lo Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asks, Maishna achila
dechol. We still didn't come to the source of why there has to be a kedei achilas pras.
As opposed to?
Just
what does that mean?
Eating it as long as it takes for you to eat it.
Just the opposite. Rashi has informed us that the default is that you have to eat it right now, all at once. And the idea of achilas pras, the fact that it could be as long as that, the extension over time for liability is the chiddush. No one is going to entertain the idea that it's indefinite.
Well, not indefinite, but whatever time it takes for a person to eat.
So he's saying,
I just find the whole concept of bringing in a timeline is a little, like you said, it's a little bit of the chiddush. Understandably, you know, a person is not going to eat something forever and ever, hold on to it and eat a little bit by a little bit. That wouldn't be called a chila either. It's
why not?
Some sort. Well, it's not.
Where you draw your line.
What I mean to say is that you would eat something, it wouldn't consider to be that eating. There's eating, and then 5 minutes later you eat something. That's a different eating.
Yeah.
But
you're drawing an arbitrary line, no?
True.
So what they're saying is kedei achilas pras. That was what we defined. We said b'halchei v'yas v'dayde. The chacham established that this is what they know with the length of time that a person would be considered to be eating. This is what will satisfy you when you eat. More than that will not. They gave a shear. But the shear, I mean, what about the shear plus 1 second? So the Gemara asks that question in general regarding shearim, you know, and the answer is you have to be kovei something. You have to say at a certain point, this is it. So, but take a look. It's interesting. In Source Chas, the Gemara there, Rabbi Zera asks, Maishna achila d'chol chad v'chad v'kakosevas. Maishna shesia d'chol chad v'chad b'didei. Why is it that when it comes to eating, we say there is a flat measure, right? And a large date. That's the measure, no matter who you are. Whereas when it comes to drinking, we say each person is own cheekful. So Amar Le Avaye, Avaye says, Kimlu l'Rabbanan b'kakosevas t'ba'achim yasvadaitei. Batzim yachilam yasvadaitei. The Rabbanan knew that a large date will satisfy anybody. Og melech habashan, anybody. It doesn't make a difference. The less than that will not, no matter who you are. B'shesia, when it comes to drinking, b'didei miyasvadaitei, b'dechave lo miyasvadaitei. It's very subjective when it comes to drinking. It's a very interesting idea. I bring that up just parenthetically because it's fascinating. But as a general rule, the rule is kedei achilas pras is not a measure that changes. It is not subjective. It's a fixed period of time. When it comes to the food you're eating, interestingly, we do differentiate. We do differentiate for in terms of the food you eat. If you take a look at source tests, the Mishnah Nigayim. Right? The rule is that if you go into Bayis Hamanuga and you wait there for a specific period of time, which we're about to identify, then you become Tame. What's the period of time? So he said, Mishanichnas the Bayis Hamanuga. If a person goes into a house with Saras, Vakelavak Seifo, Vesandala, Vetavosa, Biyadov, he has his clothing thrown over his shoulder, now he's not wearing it, his sandals and his rings are held in his hands, Huvein Tame and Miyad. Then he ends there immediately Tame. But if he's wearing his clothing, the sandala, the rangla, the tavosa, the other, his shoes are on his feet, his rings are on his fingers, hu tame miyad, he's tame right away, they ain't taharin, but they're tahar, adja yisha kidei achilas pras, until he waits the period of time that it would take to eat a pras, which he says with specifically with, pas chitin, velo pas saorin, wheat rather than barley, mesa va'ocha v'lift on reclining, and eating it with some kind of a topping on it. That's what we're talking about as far as this shear of kidei achilas pras. So the Mishnah Nigayim identifies the differences between chitim and sa'orim. The Minchas Chinuch asks, why is it that we use chitim? So he says, either it's halacha l'moshe miSinai, or it's from the pasuk of chita. Remember that the Gemara in Yoma goes through each of the different shivaminim and says each one has a relevant halacha. So chita is the shear for pas chitim. So he says, maybe it's based on that pasuk. But but based on this variation, the fact that chita and sa'ora are different, and based on the fact that the Gemara never defines a shear for kedei achilas pras, right? The Gemara never says this is the shear for kedei achilas pras. The Minchas Chinuch doesn't say this here, by the way. The Minchas Chinuch says this in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel. Okay, so you won't find it in Mitzvah Gimel. But he says based on the fact that the Gemara never defines a shear for kedei achilas pras, and the fact that you have variations between foods, that means that in general, for each Isser, it's based on the food you're eating at that time. It's not an objective kedei achilas pras. That's a remarkable statement. It has all sorts of halachic ramifications. For example, I don't know if we can extend it this far. This is now in the realm of speculation. But one of the issues that comes up regarding kiddush on whiskey, when people want to make kiddush Shabbos day on whiskey, is the question of how much you have to drink.
Yes, the fact that there is that machlokes.
So you have to
have is what's chesed, you go according to the chesed, in which case a shot will do, or right. Whether you go to revius the way you do with the
right.
Iron.
And the question is also the shear for the time. Mm-hmm. What's the normal shear for drinking whiskey? Another issue, another area where this could come up theoretically, is the issue of chrein for marer. There are numerous reasons why chrein is likely not marer. Why horseradish should not be your first choice for marer.
Order up the of the
Mishnah. Forget the order of the Mishnah. Horseradish may not even be one of the items of the Mishnah. We possibly identify it with Tamcha in the Mishnah, yeah. but there is a boatload of evidence that Marer, I even use the word Marer for horseradish. That's how ingrained it is. But there's a lot of evidence that says that horseradish is not Tamcha. If you look in the Gemara, for example, the Gemara says that Tamcha is a Yerek with a Kelach, with a stem. Right? Maror that people eat is the root. They're not eating the leaf. Number two, it's identified as being, you can, and I'll come back to that, but maror is identified there in the Gemara as being something that is green on the outside and white around the inside. Mm. That applies by leaves. It doesn't apply by the root.
If you look at a turnip, it's actually purplish green,
mm-hmm. right,
from the outside.
Right.
It's tinged.
Yeah.
The more, I don't know, maybe could be
it's
off.
Not.
Certain,
it's not. I grow it. I used to grow it. I don't grow it here. But I used to grow it. It's as brown can be. Inside it's white. That's it.
It could be a different species of those things, too.
When you look historically at what they used, no one used horseradish until the 14th century.
I was going to say, I mean, there's got to be a reason why.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Yeah. I mean, this is part of a longer shear that I've given before, but one of the arguments against horseradish is that horseradish is not bitter. Horseradish is sharp. Those are very different tastes from a halachic perspective. Charif and mar are two different things. One of the reasons that they argue against it is this point here, that you can't really do an achila. That's not called achila if you have a kezias of marer. What's your kedei achilas pras? For eating a kezias of marer. Historically, they had all sorts of other foods that they used. They used chicory, they used artichoke, cardoon artichoke, they used all sorts of different things. The first one we find using horseradish is Agaus Maimonios. He's the first one in Germany. And the argument goes, and I think this is a correct argument, that originally, when he's using it, he's not using the root at all. He's using the leaf. Because the horseradish leaf fits the criteria perfectly. Horseradish makes monster-sized leaves. They're huge. You could really eat those, and it's absolutely bitter. I've eaten horseradish leaf. And it's decidedly bitter. It fits the criteria perfectly. And has an advantage in that it's not as crinkly, and therefore easier to check for bugs. The Chacham Tzvi, I think it's Chacham Tzvi, who wrote that you shouldn't use it except if you can't check lettuce properly. Chacham Sofer wrote about it. Chacham Tzvi wrote about it.
That's what the Taka did in Europe. They ate it because it was easy.
It was easier to check. It was more available.
Less chance of bugs.
It's also more available. Because horseradish roots, once they take, you know, if any small amount remains in the ground, they regenerate. That's one of the great reasons for growing it, because you can't kill it. It'll just keep on coming back. And but the other piece of it is, it's suggested by some poskim that they started out eating the leaf. Then they started eating the knuckle of a horseradish that grows above the ground, the top of the root. And then that became eating the rest of the root. But it's very, very difficult to justify horseradish as marer.
So that brings to question another concept, which is the concept of what do you do minha gavisen biyadeinu.
Right.
Even though there are questionable reasons why we do things, but yet the consensus seems to be that if your father did it, your grandfather or your great grandfather did it, and a lot of other nice and from Yidden did it, then Chayri should do it too.
Yes,
so
I keep some.
How to explain?
So I keep some. I keep some horseradish on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't. I don't use that as marer.
I've changed also. I mean, I eat basically the Belgian endive.
Right, chicory.
The chicory, that was never my tradition to do so.
Right, it's what we identify as ulshin.
I eat a little bit of marer with it, but basically I use the chicory primarily because of the fact that that seems to be the more authentic.
It's the third on the list,
yeah.
But it's a clearer identification than the horseradishes. That's for sure. The klal in general is that a minhag stands unless you have a real reason to nullify it. But once you have a real reason to nullify it, then you nullify it. You know, that seems to be the
clue. Anyone's come out clearly against the fact that you shouldn't eat any more.
I mean, there are those who have, but not loud enough voices. In terms of the going back to the bechdei achilas pras, though, the problem is applying this idea of bechdei achilas pras to Eirim and Achai as well as to Gid Hanoshe. We saw the Gemara in Chulin.
So
already.
The only thing we've established so far is that there is a concept of kedei achilas pras
as a chiddush by
kezayis,
yes,
of eating.
Yes.
Then there are different types of eating, and also we excluded drinking,
right,
and we've excluded other novel types of eating, so you say gedanosha.
Right. We didn't necessarily exclude drinking. We just said that drinking is different in terms of making the shear subjective.
Having no shear because it's subjective.
Right. So the problem is applying this to Eber Menachai and Gidanasha. We said that if you split the Eber Menachai into parts and you eat it part by part, you're going to be punter. And Rashi there commented that it's because Eber Menachai as a whole is a chiddush, and so we only know the chiddush for its most narrow case of eating it bevas achas, right? Eating it simultaneously. We're not going to apply the chiddush of dichtei achilas pras. So the Prima Gadim, writing in
that's
Rashi writing explicitly. That was the Rashi we saw in Vav. He said the Gemara itself said that we're not going to apply Bichtei Achilas Pras, and Rashi explained that it's because Bichtei Achilas Pras is a chiddush in and of itself, and therefore you're not going to apply it to Eber Menachai, which is also a chiddush. Once you have a chiddush, it's very limited in its application. We're not going to apply all these other chidushim to. We'll apply the normal rules. The Prima Gadim says this should apply to Giran Asha as well. He says Giran Asha is also a chidush because, as we said, it's not achila. And so, therefore, you're only liable if you eat Giran Asha bebas achas. However, then you should note that the rule in Chulin that we stated is not so clear at all. The rule in Chulin that if it's a chiddush, then Kedei Achilas Pras does not apply. The Chasim Sofer, as well as the Minchas Chinuch, challenged this. The Chasim Sofer in Orachayim Kuf Mem, the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Samach Aleph, both challenged this idea based on the Gemara in Zvachim. Take a look, please, at Source Yud. Rabbi Meir, hai nevela my avid love. There's a machlokas going between Rabbi Yehud and Rabbi Meir. What does Rabbi Meir do with the word nevela? What does he learn from it? Meshir achila v'kizayis, to teach that the shir for eating is a kizayis. And I gave you a little bracketed comment, meaning, lekabal tuma al yidei achilas nevela. That period there should be a tough. That's my mistake in my typing. The shir of eating is a kizayis, meaning, if you eat a nevela, you become tummy when you eat a kizayis. V'tepakli mikra kama midafki rachmana b'loshin achila. Why don't I already deduce that from the fact that Torah used the verb achila? Chav l'shir achila b'kizayis, v'chav l'shir achila b'kde achilas pras. The answer is that one pasuk is needed to teach me that the shir for eating is an olive-sized amount, and one is to teach me that the shir over time is kde achilas pras. Saka daita chamina, because I would have thought, hoel v'chidushu, since the whole thing is a chidush, yosem echde achilas pras nami li tame, you should become tame, even if you eat it over a longer period of time. Since it's a chidush, you should be liable for taking, even if you take more time. So, look at that. You see what he just did? He said, in the case of an achila that is a chidush, there should be more time. Not bazachas, we've extended the other way, along the axis. So the Chasam Sofer says, oh boy, are you
but
in
you
trouble.
You don't throw out the concept of Kedei Achilas Pras even by another Chiddush, which is more than...
No, but just the opposite. He's gone beyond Kedei Achilas Pras. He said, forget Kedei Achilas Pras. He says Kedei Achilas Pras is a Chiddush to limit, essentially.
Right.
Rather than an extender, it's actually a limitation. So the Chasam Sofer says, you know what, I have to throw out my hands. It's a Machlokes HaSugyos. He says you can't justify them. Chulin and Zvachim disagree. Chulin thinks that achila is assumed to be kizayis by default, and the chiddush is that you can drag it out to kedei achilas pras, right? And then it'll still be mitzdarif, and therefore regarding a chiddush like Eber Menachai will not be mitzdarif. And then Zvachim, on the other hand, thinks that achila is assumed to be kosher. Achila is assumed to be any eating you do over any period of time. And the chiddush of kedei achilas pras is to say, no, only within this period of time. And so when you get to a chiddush case, like Eber Menachai, you have longer time again. And then if you get an usher, you have longer time again, and you're still going to be chayav. Take a look, please, at Yud Aleph. That's where I brought the Chasam Sofer's answer. As far as our question, it would appear to me, but the Baha'i Pligi, that this is in fact the Machlokas. Shmaisa, the Zoper Kidanasha, the discussion in Chulin. Svira Leistam Achila Bekizayis assumes that Achila by default means an olive sized amount. Vahalacha la Moshe Misinai, Desagi Vitzir of Kedei Achilas Pras. That's the Lacha Moshe Misinai, that you could actually combine it within this Kedei Achilas Pras time. Uve Eber Menachai.
That's the answer.
That's the idea in Chulin. That by Eber Menachai, and any place where it's a chiddush, i.e. gidanasha, right? I would say you have to do it all at once to be liable. V'sugya d'svachim, whereas the sugya and svachim, spirulahu stam achila b'kol shu, they think no. Eating means over any period of time. V'asi alach l'moshe misinai, and along comes the alach l'moshe misinai in the opposite direction to teach me, dal kopanim tzarech le'achol b'chdei achilas pras kizayis, that what I need to do is to eat the kizayis within k'dei achilas pras. V'mili d'chidosh hu sagi l'chol apachos b'kol shu, v'tzirif kol hayom. Then when you're dealing with a chidosh case, like Eiv Menachai or like Gidan Asha, then I'll say again, if you ate it all day long, it'll still combine. I would think that you could combine all the mashus all day long, every little bit that you eat. There's another answer that I've seen elsewhere, but that's the Chasam Sofer's answer. So the upshot of this discussion is that my liability for Gid Hanasha maybe only if I eat it all at once, and maybe even if I eat it all day long, mm-hmm. depending on whose view.
Which Gemara?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Chatzi Shir, now to take it to the last point, the idea of liability for Chatzi Shir. I told you we were going to come back to this Chazi Litz Darufe and Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. This Chatzi Shir thing also may not apply to Aver or to Gid Hanasha, depending on how you understand the concept of Chatzi Shir. We saw the Gemara already back in Yuma that in Source Gimel. About Chazilitz Darufe, the idea that it could combine to reach it, right? We had Rabbi Yochanan's view that Chatzi Shir is Aser Min HaTorah because it could combine. And Reish Lakish said, no, it's Mutter Min HaTorah, it's only Aser Min DeRabbanan. So the Prima Gadim notes that that it may not apply to Aver and to Gid Hanasha. He says there are two ways to look at Chazilitz Darufe. One way to look at Chazilitz Darufe is that it's a concern when I eat this little bit, it's a starting point for eating this amount. And my next moment, I may eat this, and then this, and then this, and finally I reach the shear.
You may not.
And I may not, that's true. But it's the start of an iser, and I'm chayav for starting on an iser. You are chayav for starting an iser that you could complete. That's one way the Prima Gadim says you could look at it.
That's a very, very chudish tikkun.
Actually, I mean, if I'm Reish Lakish, I like that very much. Because Reish Lakish says it's a derabanan, and it makes a lot of sense, lest you complete the shir. It's Rabbi Yochanan who says it's a deoraisa that really has more explaining to do.
Well, yeah, but just the concept that you're starting, that the actual, we know what the actual shir that's mechayev, but if you only started, you're already chayev for starting it, that's a chiddush. That's very much,
yeah.
A very big chiddush. The same way, you could apply, if you apply that to the concept of eating a nevela.
Yeah.
Well, if you eat part of the nevela, are you
that's exactly.
Are you tame?
If you not tame. Tame. Wait, no. Tame and chiyuv are two different things.
Okay.
Tame is based on the shear. You can't be tame unless you have the shear. The only question is, am I chayev for doing chatzi shear? Now realize that chatzi shear, the difference between liability.
It would be an interesting situation where he's potter from. He's chayev. That's it, for example,
but he's not tame.
If he only eats a part of, he'll be chayav for achila, according to Rabbi Yochanan, because even a chatzi shir is chayav, but he's not going to be tame.
That's correct. That's exactly right.
Well,
there's another nafkamina, malkos. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that you're chayav for chatzi shir, you're not getting malkos unless you eat a shir. Correct. But that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that I am chayav because I ate a partial amount. Had I eaten a whole amount, then I would have been chayav for the big thing. Now I'm just chayav for the little thing because I only ate a partial amount. But had I eaten the whole amount, I would have been chayav for everything. The difference between the two explanations is, what if I can't be chayav over time? What if I can only be chayav for bas achas? Right? The first explanation was, you're liable when you eat a little because you could eat a little more and you could eat a little more and eventually reach the shear. But if the chiyuv is only bevas achas, then chatzi shear won't apply.
Yeah.
Exactly, then chatzi shear won't apply. Whereas, if I take the second view, then it has nothing to do with maybe you could eventually combine it. It doesn't make a difference that I can't combine it in this case. I'm liable for chatzi shear anyway. So the Prima Gadim says, it's Prima Gadim in Yeredeya Samachai, that within the first view, that it's lest I combine it, chatzi shear will not apply to Eiver Min HaChai and to Gid Hanasha. It's only within the second view that it will apply. That's his interesting argument. The Minchas Chinuch, though, not here, but in Taf Nun Beis, notes other possible views. He says we might take the second view within the Prima Gadda that says that it has nothing to do with you could eat a little more and combine, right? But then he notes that the Shagas Aryeh takes the first view. The Shagas Aryeh rules that regarding chametz, that you don't violate Bal Yeraya with a chatzi shir, because there's no chazilitz darufe. There is no, you could combine it. But he also argues one other possibility. There's still a little flesh.
Where does he say that Bal Chazilitz darufe by
Yeah, I don't remember the discussion now. Unfortunately, I prepared this one too far in advance. I don't remember his argument by the Bal Yeraya. But the Minchas Chinuch notes one other possibility. There's still flesh on the Gidon Asher, right? There's still, like you want to say, by the Basar, right? For the Basar Menachai. And the Basar is Chazilitz Darufe. In other words, even if the Gidon Asher is not Chazilitz Darufe, because we say the Gidon Asher must be the Vasachas, because it's a Chiddush. Or even if you say Eber Menachai is not Chazilitz Darufe, because Eber Menachai is a Chiddush, right? And therefore it has to be the Vasachas, there can still be meat on it. And the meat is chazilitz darufe. The meat's treif. So it is chazilitz darufe with other stuff. So therefore, even if you'll tell me the chatzi shir doesn't apply to the gid proper, chatzi shir doesn't apply to the iser Avram and Achai, because those are chidushim, it will apply, and therefore since they're chidushim, they're only basachas, nonetheless, it'll still apply, chatzi shir will still apply to the basar that's on it. That's the Menchas Chinuch's point. Yeah. All right. So that's for that. Yeah, I had fun with this one. Next week.